Titus chapter number 2. We've had a great day today in the Lord and still praying for our friends and family that are in the path of this hurricane that's coming. Still thankful for our senior saints and the blessings that they have been to us. And sometimes we look at those older than us, and all of us have someone older than us. Amen. We all have someone younger than us, and we all have a responsibility to one another. And here in Titus chapter number 2, the Word of God reminds us that there's a responsibility that's given to the elders, to the older men, to the older women, to teach. But you know, young people, you have a responsibility to listen to what the old folks are teaching you. Amen? And it's a responsibility that we take for granted so many times. In simple things, you can be taught things that have a profound effect on your life as you get down the road. As people who've worked in the workplace and never took the time to protect their hearing, and now they have constant ringing in their ears, noise that don't go away, noise that literally drives you crazy. And I tell people all the time, I tell young guys all the time, protect your hearing. Take care of your hearing. We was talking yesterday up at lunch about how we abuse our bodies. I've seen people take and beat with things with their hands and try to beat things loose. And I had a friend of mine who used to do it all the time. And I told him, I said, you know, God only gives you one set of hands. And when you beat them things up when you're young, you'll pay for it when you get old. And he would keep doing it. He would, instead of going to get a hammer, instead of going to get a piece of pipe, he would beat on things. And as he got older, he found his hands all crippled and mangled and hurting all the time. Little things that are shared with you, but there are profound things that are shared, profound things that we can pick up. I watched my mother-in-law place her faith and trust in God for all things. And I don't care what she was facing, what she was dealing with. She said, well, the Lord's going to take care of it. And I watched the Lord take care of it. Amen. Profound things from a little old lady. Now, she was the biggest worrywart in the world. Amen? But yet she trusted God. You say, well, that's an oxymoron. That can't be. But it is. She trusted God for what she knew God was going to do, but she knew human nature and what human nature would do in trying to run away from what God wanted to do sometimes. And that's what Titus is telling us here in Titus chapter number 2. In verse number 1, he says, But speak thou things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Excuse me. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say unto you. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father, tonight for your instruction. God, we thank you for those senior saints that live before us and Show us those things, Father, that help us, God, to be what we need to be. And Lord, we just pray, God, that we might be an encouragement and a help to those who are our senior. And Father, give place unto the things that they teach us, Father, in godliness and in worship and trusting you and dependent on you. Help us, Father, now, God, to honor you in all that we do. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. Amen. A church several years ago done a survey of the senior saints in their church. And they asked them to list the things that they feared to teach young people in their own lives the most. In other words, the things that they did, the things that they might do, the bad habits that young people might pick up, or those younger than them might be encouraged to follow after, more than anything else. And they compiled the list, and this was a big church, and they brought it back. And I've picked five of those things that I think were the most important. They were the top five, from number one to number five, that these senior saints feared the most. And it should be what we fear in our Christian walk, in our Christian lives, to share with one another, to show one another. It should be as though we are teaching newborn babes in Christ the wrong way to go if we would follow after these things. It would be as if we're teaching our young people the things that they shouldn't do instead of the things that they should do. And we know we got a men's meeting, and we'll try to be quick here tonight. Five things that these senior saints were afraid of teaching, were afraid of leaving a legacy of. You know, we sang that song in the choir, "Let those who come behind us find us faithful." And I tell you, we got a responsibility. Amen? Teenagers, you got a responsibility. You got younger kids coming up behind you. You got kids out of the Awana that are coming up behind you that need to find you faithful. Amen? Young adults, you got people who are looking to you that need to find you faithful. Amen? You know, we always think about, well, we're looking at the old people. We're looking at the senior saints. There's always somebody that's looking at you. And you're an example to someone. Number five on their list of the top five thing that the seniors in this church were afraid to teach or to let their lives perpetuate was spiritual retirement. Spiritual retirement. I've got to the place in my life to where I'm going to quit being as faithful to church as I once was. I want to spend more time on me. I've got to the place in my life to where I no longer need to be there every service. I'm going to take some time for me. I want to travel and I want to visit and I want to do those things that indulge myself. And these senior saints, when they were questioned, this fell into the top five of the things they wanted to make sure that we didn't pick up on. Is there's never a time to give up on the Lord. There's never a time to give up on being faithful. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel, in chapter number 3, about a man by the name of Eli. He was the priest. The Bible says in that day, well, before we go on to that, let me preface this for you. The Bible says that his sons had taken over his duties and had taken over doing the things, and they would force themselves upon women. The Bible says that his sons had took over, and when people would bring their offerings to the tabernacle to offer unto God, they would steal of the offerings. The Bible says that the only thing that Eli ever done was talk and give lip service to it, but he never took any action. And God has come to the place where he has decided that he's going to take action. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, in verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." I tell you what, that's what's missing in a lot of parents' lives today. That's what's missing in a lot of society's lives today. Amen? God says, "When I begin, I'll also make an end." Amen? I'm going to take care of this thing. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Amen. I tell you what. Now, this is, I'm preaching from the point of preaching to senior saints or those leaving an example. Nothing makes me more disgusted than listen to a parent tell a kid 15 times they're going to do something and then not do it. Amen. We've told ourselves, we've been told that correcting your children hurts their esteem. My children were corrected, and their esteem is just fine. Amen. He says he knew what they were doing, but he restrained them not. Amen. You know why? Because Eli was in spiritual retirement. Amen. He was going through the motions. He was sitting at the tabernacle. He would sit at the gate of the tabernacle, but he wouldn't do nothing about what his sons were doing. He just sat back and let their vile nature take over, and let their vile actions just magnify themselves. And because Eli chose to go into spiritual retirement instead of standing up and do what he was supposed to do as the spiritual leader. And let me tell you what, we all have a responsibility as spiritual leaders. Amen. Every one of us that are born again and bought with the blood of Jesus have been given a title, have been given a place, have been given an office of a spiritual priesthood. Amen. We all have a responsibility to stand up. Because he chose to go into spiritual retirement, he brought catastrophe upon his own family. God said, "I'll judge his family forever." Those familiar with the account know that later on, his two sons were killed in battle. Know that when the news came to Eli, the Bible says he was a great man. He was a fat man, a big man, set on a rock by the gate of the tabernacle. And it said when they came and they brought him news that it startled him to where he fell backward and he broke his neck and he died. He brought spiritual catastrophe upon his family. Not only did he do that because he went into spiritual retirement, not only did he do that because he quit fulfilling his obligations unto God, he brought a spiritual drought in the land of Israel. If you go back up into chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." You know what? When the church house dries up because God's people go into spiritual retirement, there's a penalty to be paid, and it's a moral obligation that we have. It's a spiritual obligation that we have to stand true. But when we give up on that obligation, we put the church of the living God into bankruptcy. Amen. Into decay. Quitting, fading out, taking time for ourselves, indulging ourselves should not ever be an option. Spiritual retirement was one of the things that these senior saints feared to let be perpetuated within their church to the next generation the most. There's no place, no time to give up. No time to give in. Amen. Mrs. Jones was here this morning. And y'all don't know Mrs. Jones. She's that little old lady about this tall. And she kind of hunched over. You come down here almost any time, and she's over there working in that pantry. I've been here before 7 o'clock in the morning. And her car will be over there. And no, she's over there working in that pantry. Amen. There's no place for retirement spiritually. She knows there's a work to be done. There's one sitting right there. That amazes me. Amen. She's into everything. Amen. She's involved with whatever's going on. When our young people were having their formals, she would help them dress us and help get dresses for the young ladies so that they could go to the youth formal. When they had old-fashioned day, she would help them sew poodle skirts and dresses for old-fashioned day. She went out of her way to do whatever she could to be an encouragement to help others. And that there are others that are here as well that have all done the same kinds of things. Miss Eileen is faithful to the pantry when she can be there. Praise God. I'm thankful for those who don't just fade out and just quit and stop serving spiritually. Now there gets a time when you might not physically be able. My mother-in-law couldn't get out, and you've heard me tell a million times how we've caught her going through the phone book, just calling people and asking them, did they know about Jesus? Amen. Amen. Spiritual retirement to the child of God is not an option. Amen. It's not an option. God never told us to quit. He told us to keep going on, keep pressing forward. Amen. The next thing that these senior saints feared to leave a legacy of was inflexibility. Inflexibility. Amen. You know, times change. I hear people, well, you know, when I was a kid, we had this, you know, when I was a kid, if you went to the church and they had a flannel graph, that was a big thing. Amen? Amen? A flannel graph, man, that was the deal. Every teacher had a flannel graph. How many young people know what a flannel graph is? That's a couple of them, yeah. Amen? Amen? But you break out some cardboard pictures cut out of stamped out, and you put them on a piece of cloth up there, a piece of flannel up there today, and they look at you like you got a third eye. What's that? We thought you was going to show us something and teach it. Why? Because their lives are filled with interactive. And if you want to keep their attention, I mean, maybe we was just plumb dumb. We just didn't know any better. That's all we had. You know what I mean? You know, you all got to overlook us sometimes. You know, we didn't have all this modern technology that you have. Amen. So it's kind of hard for us. It is. Amen. To realize that we need to teach you differently than what we were taught, but we need to teach you the same thing. Amen. And we need to realize that. And these senior saints, that they realized that was number 4 on their list, was inflexibility. Some people won't change with the times irregardless of what you do. I remember when the first LCD projector we got. I heard more gruff over that. Well, we could send it to the missionaries. We could send that money here. We could do it here. We got the thing, and this one was using it. That one was using it, and, you know. It's become a useful tool. Amen. There's nothing wrong to the missionaries, but our mission field is right here. Amen. The Bible doesn't tell us anywhere to neglect our mission field for another field. Amen. There was times when Paul wanted to go into a mission work wanted to go into a mission field somewhere else, but God didn't let him go. Amen. Our work is right here. And you know, you hear all these arguments. Well, I don't think we should be feeding them kids downstairs in that basement. The church just isn't the place to do that. Why not? Man, we got bathrooms in the back. If we can do something as vile as that in the church, can't we feed a child? Amen. How many of you want to take them out and we can put the outhouses back out back? Amen. The greatest fear was inflexibility. Amen. Well, this is the way that we've always done it. Well, this is the way we did it. This is the way. Look at what Ecclesiastes says, what the preacher in Ecclesiastes. I think this is a very good scripture. Ecclesiastes 7, 8 to 10. He said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. But listen to verse number 10. Say not thou, what is the course, that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. We can talk about the way we used to do things and the way we used to have revival and the preachers that we used to have and the tools the way that we used to teach and all the used to be's. Well, praise God, we're not in the used to be. Here we are now. Amen. Amen. Let's equip our church to be the most effective church that it can be. Amen. I'm not saying we depart from the Word of God. Amen. But you're only reading the Word of God because a thing was made called the printing press one day. And people objected to that. Amen. Let's not be afraid to move forward. Let's not be afraid to use technology to our advantage. Man, there's all kinds of things, and people say, well, I don't believe we should be on Facebook. I don't believe we should do this on Facebook, and I don't believe Facebook. Facebook is an aggravating thing. Can I get an amen? Amen? But you know what? Facebook is a very useful tool. It can be used effectively. It can be used for a good thing. You know, we can take all things and use them for the right reason, for a good thing. Amen? Don't let yourself become inflexible, that you're not willing to change and not willing to embrace technology as it comes along. It's so easy to get set in our ways that we don't want to see change, where we were comfortable the way we were, and we're afraid of what we don't understand and don't know. But don't allow that to keep your church from moving forward. Don't allow that to encourage you to encourage others not to move forward and not to do what's easy to get the gospel out. The book, it's easy to look backwards, but our focus should be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We can always look back and say what used to be and how we used to do it, but let's quit looking back and let's start looking forward. Amen. Looking forward to the opportunities that are laid out before us. Looking forward to the privilege that we have of teaching. Looking forward to the people that we can reach with the gospel and sometimes what seems unorthodox ways, but God uses the simple things, amen, to accomplish what he needs to do. Being resistant to change is like saying, well, I don't want to accept the New Testament. Amen. See, God is a God of change. Amen. His message never changes. Amen. His motive never changes. Amen. But one day, there was the dispensation, there was the time of the law. But now we live under the dispensation of grace. Amen. You see, there was a big change. And I don't know about you, but I like living under the change. Amen. That God instituted. See, God's not resistant to change as long as we don't change the purpose. You see, everything in the law pointed to Jesus. Everything in the New Testament points to Jesus. Amen. Change isn't bad as long as we don't lose the focus on what it's all about. As long as we don't go contrary to the old book, to the precious word. Amen. Inflexibility, number four. Number three was regrets. Was regrets. Living your life in regret of things that have happened in the past. We talked about that some this morning with Anna. How she could have got bitter. She could have spent her whole life bemoaning her situation, bemoaning the lot that had been handed to her. We find people who live their lives and they're unproductive because they want to live and relive and rehash their regrets. I dare to say there's probably no one in here, no matter what age you are, that doesn't have regrets in your life. Amen. You regret the time you didn't witness to somebody. You regret the time you sinned and, you know, you brought a reproach upon the name of Christ. You regret the bad decisions that you've made. You regret the hurt that you've brought in somebody's life. We all have regrets. We all can go back and look at the things and dwell on those things and live in those things that are regrets in our life. But these all senior saints said that this is important that we don't share this attitude of living in our regrets. Amen. If we would live in our regrets, none of us would ever go forward because our regrets would be keeping us where we are. David had regrets in his life. He sinned with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 51, he pleaded his heart before God. My sin is ever before me. Amen. David found forgiveness for his sin, but his sin was ever before him. But David didn't stop his life and park at Bathsheba. David went on, and praise God, God used him mightily and in a mighty way. Amen. The Apostle Paul was a persecutor of the church. He regretted that. In Galatians and chapter 1, he talks about that. In Timothy, he talks about that. In Acts, as he stands before Felix and Agrippa, he talks about that. Paul regretted that time in his life. When he was injurious, as he says, to the church. When he persecuted the church without measure. When he hurt the church. But he didn't let that regret, he didn't let his past keep him from being what God wanted him to be. He got on past his past. He got on past his regrets and kept the regrets where they needed to be. And when he died, he could look back on his ministry, look back on the life that God had blessed him with and say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. We all have regrets. We all have things that we look back on, but don't let those behind you see you stifled in your spiritual life, living in the regrets that are behind you. Peter denied Jesus. Peter rebuked Jesus. Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thou behind me, Satan. Peter had regrets in his life, but God went on to call Peter and tell him that he would be instrumental in starting the New Testament church and starting his church and building upon the rock that God had prepared. Peter could have looked back and said, well, I denied Jesus. I can't do this. Well, I rebuked Jesus for telling me he was going to be crucified and die, but I can't do this. Paul has told the Philippians of his own testimony. In chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What did Paul say? He said, forget about the past. Amen. Leave the past behind and press forward. Keep going forward. Don't let the past define your future. We talk about woulda, shoulda, coulda. Amen. And we can talk about woulda, shoulda, coulda a million times. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Amen. Why don't we change and why don't we trade in the woulda, coulda, shouldas in our lives for the wills, the dids, and can-dos, amen, and move forward and press forward toward the mark that God has set before us. Letting regrets stifle your spiritual movement. That's like somebody that buys a car and they buy a lemon, amen. They might regret buying it, but they don't stop driving it. Amen. Amen. I'll leave it alone. Amen. You're stuck with it. It's there. We get over it. Amen. Let's get her straightened out and go on. And endure it as long as you have to. One day you'll be able to trade it in. Amen. Or one day you'll be able to pawn it off on somebody else. Amen. But don't let your regrets keep you from moving. Keep you from going. Now, I tell you what, I did see a guy one time who bought a lemon, a Mercedes-Benz too, down below Dover, between Dover and Milford. And he bought this lemon Mercedes-Benz, and he couldn't get it straightened out. And I don't know if he owned the property, if he rented the property, or what he did, but he got a storage container, and he parked that Mercedes-Benz, and it sat there for years, right across the street from the Mercedes-Benz dealership. Amen? And parked that brand-new Mercedes up there on top of that thing, and had a big old banner printed up on the side. You remember seeing that, Jimmy? On the side of that storage container that said, I bought this car from that dealership over there, and it was a lemon. And they have not been able to fix it. I wouldn't buy anything from them because when they sell you a lemon, they won't fix it. It's something in tune to that, wasn't it? And that car sat there for years. But see, I can't afford to do that. You know, if I buy the lemon, I got to drive it anyway. Amen. I can't let it keep me from moving forward. Might not like the way it gets me there, but I got to keep going forward. But some people just park their regrets and just leave them there. And it was a reminder for everybody that rode up and down. Boy, that man was sorry he bought that car. Hey, man, I don't know if it's still down there or not. I knew it was almost brand new when he put it up there, and it sat there for years. Number two, and one of the things we got to be on guard about the most, I think, in our Christian lives. Because, you know, we're all individuals. We're all different. We was all raised a little different. Amen? We was all raised with little nuances in our family lives that are different than other people's. Sherry's kids call her mom and dad Oma and Opa. Amen. My kids called their grandmothers Mama. I know kids from down south, Mama and Pawpaw. Amen. See, little nuances, little things that are different in our lives. But we got to make sure that we don't allow these little things. This was number two on the list. Number two that they didn't want to pass on and didn't want to see those that come behind them pick up in their own lives. A critical spirit. Amen. How many times have you heard some Christian say, well, you ought to just look at her. You ought to just look at him. Well, they should, they ought to, they could, and begin to criticize. How many times have you heard somebody criticize your pastor? How many times have you heard somebody criticize your Sunday school teachers? How many times have you heard somebody criticize somebody in your church for something that they did which was a little different maybe than the way that they did it? How many times have you heard a critical spirit come out in people's lives? Amen. Not in a constructive way, but in a destructive manner. Because they don't look just exactly like you. They don't cook just exactly like you. They don't do things just exactly like you. There's nowhere in the Word of God that we're instructed to be critics of anyone around us. When we look at the people who are wrapped up in drugs, it's easy to be critical. I'm bad for that sometimes. Amen. It's easy to be critical. Well, I don't know how they got there. I know there's help. Amen. I know there's help. But instead of criticizing, why don't we try to do something to help and to edify? Why don't we try to do something to encourage and to uplift? Why is it that we always want to try to tear down? What did Jesus face in his earthly ministry? Criticism. Everything he done, he was criticized. He could heal somebody and he was criticized for healing somebody. Amen. He could raise somebody from the dead. You know, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, the priest, they wanted to kill Lazarus because Jesus had raised him from the dead. They never done anything that was profitable to themselves or to the nation of Israel because of their critical attitude, their critical nature. Let me give you some scriptures. Romans 14, 10 to 13. Paul writes, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Just because somebody's sin is a little different than what your sin was, there's no reason for you to criticize them. Amen. Amen. We're all a bunch of no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinners. Amen. Amen. That have been saved by grace. And God didn't qualify sin. He didn't list the sins from the best to the worst. When he sent his son into the world, he sent him to die for the sins of the world. Amen. Your sin is just as repugnant in the sight of God as the most vile person that you can think of sin. Amen. Paul says, why do you judge? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Instead of tearing people down, instead of hindering people in their spiritual walk, why don't we build them up and encourage them? Why don't we tell the drug addict that the help that he needs is in Jesus instead of criticizing? Why don't we tell the person that's sinning, whatever sin it is that you're thinking of right now, that Jesus saves old sinners? Jesus forgives us of our sins. He cleanses us. Now, of course, it's easy to be a little critical. We were sitting at the stop sign yesterday, and the guy was out there begging for money. I said, well, I don't really feel too bad about not giving him money, even though I'm in a church van, because it's in Porter's Grove's van. Nancy said, I can't believe you just said that. I said, well, it's the truth. Amen. I know. That's the advantage of people not knowing who you are. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Amen. See, if we watch what we say, we won't have a critical spirit. Amen. But you know, I'm real bad about engaging my brain sometimes, before my mouth sometimes, before my brain's engaged. Amen. I'm just getting older. It's just getting harder. I don't know if it's so much in there now that it's all clogged up. It's just taking more time for it to get from up there out here. But we need to guard our speech. We need to quit being critical. Quit looking down. Quit making judgments from the flesh. That's why it's so important to come to church. The church should be a place where you're not criticized. Amen. The church should be a place where you're encouraged and you're helped. Amen. The church should be a place where people come and they spend some time here and they leave here saying, it was good to be in the house of God. Hebrews 10:24 says, walk in wisdom, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He doesn't say anything in there about criticizing anyone. Amen. He says, let's encourage and let's build up and let's help and let's strengthen somebody in spirit. The number two thing that these senior saints were worried about was leaving behind an attitude of being critical to everything that was going on. We should take that to heart. Amen. We should take that to heart. Job was in trouble. And his friends come to visit him, and they had a critical spirit. Well, you know, you're in the situation you're in because obviously you have sinned, and they didn't have a clue what was going on. Amen. Obviously, this has happened because how many times have you found yourself looking at somebody that's got a problem going on in their life and you just, maybe you didn't say it to anybody, you know, 99.9% of the sin that I do never gets out of here. Amen. I just want you to understand that. Just because no one else knows it, God does. Amen. Just because no one else does it or knows it, you do. Amen. And you look at someone and say, well, if they hadn't have done this, surely that wouldn't have happened. You don't know what's going on. Job's friends come and they was telling him, obviously there's sin in your life. Obviously you have sinned somewhere. When God said, hast thou considered my servant Job a just man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? God said he was perfect. Amen. But yet they're criticizing him. Amen. They spoke from the flesh. When we speak from the flesh, we will speak critically. Amen. We will speak carnally. We'll speak blindly. But there was another young man. He's one of my Bible heroes. His name was Elihu. And he said, I've listened to all of you. You're all the senior to me. So I've just held my peace to listen to you. He said, but now it's time for me to speak. And he says, yes, I've got a lot of things. He said, my belly's full, my bowels are full. He said, there's a lot of things I want to say. He said, but the Spirit constrains me. You see the difference in what the other three were speaking and the difference in what Elihu was speaking was one was coming from the flesh. The other was coming from the Spirit. Amen? If we will learn to listen to the Spirit of God, He will help us to be encouragers instead of criticizers. He will help us to build up instead of tear down. He will help us to move forward instead of backward. And number one, the thing that these senior saints feared the most to pass on to those behind them was an attitude of worry. An attitude of worry. We all have concerns and we all have cares and we're by nature worry warts. Amen. Some people worry about little things, some people only worry about big things, but it's in our nature to worry. But God tells us we have nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear in Jesus. I told you in Isaiah this morning, he told the old folks not to worry. He said, I'm with you even to your old age. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus in Matthew 6, 31 to 34 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? In other words, he says, don't worry about these things. Don't give it a second thought. He said, for after all these things did the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what Jesus says? Don't worry. Don't worry. Trust me. Don't worry. Look to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Put me first and everything else will fall in line. Put me first and you don't have to worry about anything. Put me first. You don't have to worry when the death angel comes. Amen. Put me first, and you don't have to worry when the trials come. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Put me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. The number one thing that they didn't want to pass on, the number one thing that they didn't want the younger people to pick up, was that attitude of worry. We quote all these verses, and yet we worry. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want to have peace and see the worry dissipate and disappear? Trust in the Lord. Amen. You want to see the worry gone and peace in your heart where worry once dwelt? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. You want to have joy in your life like you've never known and see worry out the door. And when people wonder why you're not worrying, all they can see is peace in your life. Give it all to Jesus. Amen. Let's be careful to be mindful of the fact that we are all teaching somebody something by the life that we live. The elder men teach the younger men. The elder women teach the younger women. Teenagers teach the younger kids. The younger adults teach the teenagers. But let's make sure we're teaching them the right things. Let's make sure we don't get wrapped up in these things that these senior saints were fearful of passing on. I thought that was awesome when I was reading about that. How these things came to their mind as something that they didn't want others to see in them and to learn from them. Amen.